Well, it's good to be back with you. Sorry I couldn't be with you on Mother's Day, so a belated happy Mother's Day to the mothers that are here today. I had bronchitis again. It's been a rough winter for many of us in early spring, so I'm not the only one. So I appreciate your understanding. And then this last week, Patty and I were at Green Lake, Wisconsin for a time of retreat, prayer, a time of planning. Patty was there for some meetings with the denomination. And so it was nice to be there for that, and I thank you for that time. On Friday, I had some tests, and it was determined during those tests that I have an infection in my esophagus. So if you still feel like I have a cold, I don't know, it's an infection that's in there. It's being treated, it's not contagious, but I'm still struggling with that. So thank you for your understanding, and that's why I wasn't here a couple of weeks ago. But it's good to be back with you today. And I know that this is a holiday weekend, so we've got some people that are traveling. We've got some people that probably have some family cookouts and things like that, so we miss them today. But it's good to be with you, and I thank you for making it a priority to be here on this holiday weekend. The unofficial beginning of summer and the last Sunday of May, and here we go. Here comes the summer shortly thereafter. Congratulations to Kate Turley on her graduation from high school. Kate's with us this morning. Let's give her a round of applause. And the rest of the kids are still in school for a couple more days, so good luck to you guys. Finish up strong, all right? You can do it, and it'll be fun the next couple of days for that you have there. I want to just begin by saying how grateful I am that you're here. And as together we open up God's Word this morning, I hope that God will speak to you as I do every Sunday in a special way, and that you will be able to glean something new that you can apply to your lives. And as we dive into this morning's scripture, I think you'll begin to see the importance of our relationship with God, the importance of our relationship with Jesus, and the importance of our relationship with God's Holy Spirit. As we look at that, we understand, as we look at this morning's scripture from the book of John, we're going to see throughout this passage of scripture, and if you read the book of John, chapter 15, in its entirety, you'll be able to see there that the importance of the connectedness that we have, that we are made, that we are designed to be filled with God's love, that we are made and that we are designed, we are created to have this connection with God, each and every one of us. And that's why you're here, no doubt, this morning, is that you've come, hopefully, to connect with God. You shouldn't come here to relate to me or to relate to, a particular denomination or church, but you come to connect with God in this space. That is why we're here. We come together to worship. We come together to have fellowship with each other. And that is, it stresses the importance of our connection with God and with each other. But as we know, sin entered the world, and sin is what interrupts that connectedness that we have with God. It was sin that entered in the beginning in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve, and it was there that sin becomes our greatest deterrent from a meaningful connection with God, because we can have no part, God can have no part of that sin. And so when we sin, we break that connection, and then we become all alone in that sense. We cannot be connected to God when we are living a sinful life, because God can have no part of sin. And so we find ourselves all alone. And so it was for that very reason that Jesus came. It was for that very reason that Jesus came, because God had a plan all along that Jesus would come and that Jesus would give himself up, that he would make that greatest sacrifice, and that he would die on the cross and pay the penalty for our sins, so that we can be connected with God once again. So that's what I would like for us to focus on this morning. And on this Memorial Day weekend, I think it's important for us to remember not only our country, but the great salvation that is ours, and the great life and freedom that we have in Jesus Christ because of his sacrifice and what he did on that cross. Did any of you have grapevines, or ever had grapevines in your yard? Okay. I had one in my yard when I was growing up. We had a great big backyard, still there, but nothing really growing in it now. But when my dad was alive, he planted all kinds of stuff, and we had a grapevine. One of the neat things about the grapevine that you begin to discover is that when something begins to produce fruit, when that vine begins to produce fruit, if you take that grape, you trace it back to the leaf, to the branch, it ultimately comes from one of the vines that is there. There may be many vines, but the source of the nutrients, the source that produces the fruit, the source of that is the vine. And without that vine, there's no fruit. Without that connectedness to that vine, no grape would ever become edible. It wouldn't even exist, because it wouldn't be receiving nourishment. It wouldn't be leafing. It wouldn't certainly be producing fruit. Every leaf, every branch, every grape, all receives its nourishment from a vine, from a single vine. And without that, there's no hope of fruit. There's no hope of any kind of connectedness, nothing happening. This morning, as we begin to think about our scripture specifically, it's John chapter 15, verse 5. And it's up on the screen, or you can read along in your Bibles. And these are the words of Jesus. He says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If anyone remains in me and I in them, they will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing." If you could just keep that up there for us, Katie, I appreciate it. Jesus says, "I am the vine." We must realize right off the bat here that Jesus is proclaiming that he is the source of life. He is the vine. He's telling us right there, right from the beginning. And just a few chapters before this, if you read, you'll find that Jesus was in his last days leading up to what would be his arrest, his betrayal and arrest, and all of that transpired thereafter. But he was preparing his disciples. He was letting them know. He was giving them some instruction on what it was going to be for them after his physical presence would no longer be there with them on earth. And I want to stress that physical presence, because Jesus is still with us today. But the physical presence, and so for his closest followers, Jesus was preparing them for what was to come. And as you see this scripture, and we've alluded to it already in the opening illustration about the vine in my backyard, the grapevine in my backyard, you begin to understand that this is a familiar imagery. We know about fruit-bearing plants in this country, and these disciples, and in this place, in this context, they would have known about this. They would have known about this kind of agricultural imagery, if you will. They understood vines. They understood branches. They understood how all of that worked, how that fruit was produced. But in this very one statement, the very first part of this, Jesus proclaims that he is the source of life. "I am the vine." Jesus is the source of that life. So I want you to really keep that in focus today. He is claiming that just like a vine that takes nourishment from the soil, just like a vine that receives nourishment and water and fertilizer and so forth, that Jesus is that vine, and he is the one that's going to produce the branches, the leaves, and ultimately the fruit, because that it is connected to the vine. You and I are to be connected to that vine, and more about that in a little bit. Second of all, he is also letting us know that there's no other source. He doesn't say in there, I am one source, I am just a vine, but I am the vine. I am the vine, I am the source of life. There's none other, no matter what anybody else may tell you. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only source of life. There's no other source available. But many people in our world today settle for lesser vines. What I mean by that is people will adopt, instead of following Jesus and remaining connected to him, they will follow things like money, fame, social status, relationships, success, all of those things. I want you to know today that none of those things will ever take the place of Jesus as the vine and the source of our life. Amen? And so then Jesus tells us next, he said, and you are the branches. Okay, so now we've established Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We are the ones that are connected to the vine. We grow from that vine. Ultimately, we'll produce leaves, and then ultimately, we will produce fruit if we remain connected to the vine. And that is what we should do. But in order for it to produce fruit, we must remain attached. We must remain connected. We must remain. We'll get to that more in a moment, too. So the word that you will see many times if you read John 15 in its entirety, you will see the word remain many, many, many times. Just in this short text today, you will see it a couple of times. But we are to remain in him. That's the clear instruction. You are the branches. And then he goes on to say, if anyone remains in me and I in them, they will bear much fruit. That's the idea, that if we remain in him. You see, God has plans for us. God's desire for his disciples as he was preparing them was that they would go into the world, that they would preach the gospel, that they would baptize, that they would tell the good news of Jesus Christ. God had big plans for these disciples, these early followers of Christ. He had big plans, and those plans were for them to change the world. Those are big plans. That's what God had in place. That's what God had in place through his son Jesus Christ, the vine. But in order for that to happen, he tells his disciples, and he's telling us today, you must remain connected to me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Abide with me. I want you to hear this quote from a pastor and author, A.W. Tozer. He once said it like this. He said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. If we read this scripture and we realize that God has plans for us, and that there are plans to literally change the world, if we remain connected to him, it is possible. But what does he say at the end? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So in other words, without Jesus, we're acting on our own. And we know that when we're acting on our own, we've had some type of a sin because we've disconnected ourselves from God. It's never the other way around. We disconnect ourselves from God. when we sin. And so what Tozer is saying here, that we need to plan big. You know, we need to plan big. But I'm going to tell you, most of us wake up every morning and we repeat the same cycle over and over again. Over and over again. We go to work, we punch the time clock, we take our breaks, we have lunch, we do our job, we come home, we cook, we clean, we help the kids or the grandkids with homework. We do all of those things and then we go to bed, and the next day, guess what? We get up and we do it all over again. We don't have a plan. We don't have anything to do but what we can do. And what I think the scripture tells us, church, is that God wants us to have a plan. God wants us to remain connected to Him and realize that through Him and only through Him, we can accomplish great things. The fruit is what's important. When you look at somebody, you should be able to tell. I'm not talking about apples and oranges here, or bananas or anything like that. We're talking about a different kind of a fruit here. When you look at somebody, you should be able to tell there's something different about them. You should see in each other people serving in different ways, trying to defeat sin, living a holy life, living a connected life, reading the scriptures, worshiping on a regular basis, praying daily and without ceasing. You should be able to look at somebody and see what they're doing to help feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to save the poor. When you see those kinds of fruits, you know that those people are connected. They're not connected to money, to fame, to social status, to any of that. They're connected to Jesus Christ. And through their own small actions, they are changing the world. One person, one event, one moment at a time. So Jesus is the source of life. Second, we cannot accomplish anything on our own. Now, I've had people argue this with me through the years. Say, well, I'm the one that goes to work. I'm the one that got the education. I'm the one that made the money. Da 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 da. Okay, fine. Who provided all that? Who is the one that was the source? Without His help, without the help of others along the way that were also connected, it wouldn't happen. I'm here to tell you today, in my role as a pastor, I wouldn't be standing up here today if it wasn't for other people that were connected to that vine that helped me understand and see what life was all about, and that bearing fruit was so important, and that remaining connected to Jesus was the key. It may take a while for some to learn that, but thank God for the people that helped me see that. I think you already understand from the scripture and from what I've already said that we must remain connected. In the Greek, there's a word that you won't see here in your scriptures or up on the screen, but it's pronounced meno. Meno. M-E-N-O. M-E-H-N-O-H phonetically. Meno. And it simply means to remain. And I already said that there is, in the scripture, many times in John 15, Jesus says, remain in me, remain in me. He repeats it over and over and over again for emphasis, to get that message clear through His disciples. Remain in me. Abide in me. Stay with me. Even if you have to wait. But guess what? We're not good at that. We're not good. We don't have a lot of patience. We want results and we want them now. We're not good at waiting. We're not good at having patience. I want to share an example with you. cell phone. Okay? These things run on batteries, right? I don't know a whole lot about them, but I know that every night I have to plug this thing in. I have to plug it in, and I have to keep it plugged in, so when I wake up the next morning, it is 100% charged. And I've got power in this little computer that I hold in my pocket, in my hand now, but in my pocket, or wherever I'm at. Because I've charged it up, I've plugged it into the source. But if I forget to plug it in the night before, like I did 2 days ago, after I had those tests, I didn't care about anything bothering me. I wanted it off. I didn't want anybody bothering me. You know how you feel after you have something at the hospital. Anyway, it was down to like 30%. Well, it still functions. It's also like your laptop. You're working on something really important, and you realize all of a sudden my battery power is low, and that little battery icon at the bottom of your laptop goes down to where you can't see the power coming across it, and you find out that it'll either shut off or it'll warn you ahead of time, hey, you need to plug in to the wall. You need to plug into the source. You need to get some power in your phone because or your laptop, and if you don't, it just shuts down, and you can't do anything. You can't do anything. But we get antsy. We're not patient. And sometimes we get a phone call and we'll unplug the phone. Sometimes we think we need to pick it up and look at something and check the news, see what's going on in the Diddy trial or whatever else is going on in the world. You know, what did Trump say today? Or what, you know, what's going on in China or Israel or wherever? And then we unplug. And guess what? The power source goes down. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Jesus' words. We must remain connected to that power source because without him, we can do nothing. Without being plugged into that power source of Jesus, he tells us, apart from him, we can't do it. Just like when your phone dies or your laptop decides to go to sleep on you, you can't function for a while until you plug in, until you go to that source. Jesus tells us that an intentional relationship with him will produce spiritual fruit. This is why when I look at people and when I understand who people are and what they say they are, I think about, well, tell me about the fruits that you're bearing. Tell me about what you're doing. How is Jesus changing your life? What are you doing for him? That's what Jesus says. You will be known by your fruits. You will be known by your fruits. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, if we'll switch to that now, Katie, please. We have what's known as the fruits of the Spirit. And here they are. This is Paul writing to the church at Galatia. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So when I talked earlier about the fruits, this is one of the these are the fruits that are mentioned and the so-called fruits of the Spirit that we possess because we remain connected to the vine. We live a life that is connected to Christ. We will produce fruit. When we abide in Christ, when we remain with him, when we even wait on him patiently, we will have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the attributes that we will have that people will see in us. So when you look at people that say they're living a life of in Christ and they're connected to him, well, do you see peace? Do you see patience? Do you see kindness? Do you see self-control? Do you see faithfulness, gentleness? Or what else do you see? It's very easy for some that you look at and you don't see the fruit because you see the opposite of these things. unloving, mean-spirited, people that are interested in war, that aren't patient, that aren't kind, that are mean and bad, and they're not faithful, they're not gentle with their relationships. So you look for that fruit. Third, abiding in Christ should mean something. It should result, it should show some results. The goal of the Christian life should be, one of the goals of Christian life is that we remain connected to Jesus, that we spend a lot of time with Him, and that we do that through intentional prayer, that we read the Bible on a daily basis, that we have our devotions, that we worship, that we build godly relationships with the people around us, and we build relationships with the non-Christian or the not yet Christian, and we show them the fruits of the Spirit, and they begin to understand who Jesus is and why we're different than the rest of the world. The more time that we spend, the more time that we are connected to Jesus, we should look more like Jesus. The more that we abide in Jesus, we should talk more like Jesus. The more time that we are connected with Jesus, the more that we should act like Jesus. Abiding in Christ should have a profound impact on the way that you and I lead our lives. And it shouldn't be just on Sunday. It should impact every part of our lives. It should be a lifestyle for us as followers of Jesus. And other people around us should see it and hear us talking about it and see us acting like it. Through those gifts of the Spirit, those fruits of the Spirit, rather, people should see those things in us, those attributes. We should have a peaceful demeanor. We should have noticeable joy. You know, I say sometimes here, are you happy? And you say, yeah. And I say, well, tell your face. You know, we need to tell others that we're really happy. We should be noticeable with that joy. We should have a certain level of patience with one another. We should be trustworthy and faithful. People should know us and know that our word means something. So this morning, I ask myself and I ask you, I ask all of us together, those maybe listening online at some point down the road, take an honest look at your life. Take an honest look at your life. Not just take a look, be honest with yourself. Take that honest look of your life. Could someone honestly tell that you are living a connected life with Jesus Christ? Could someone really tell? Not just that you're coming to church on Sunday, but throughout the week, do you bear these fruits? Do you remain connected in the vine, not just when other people are looking, but in your homes and in your workplaces? Take that honest look in your life. And in your connection with Jesus Christ, based on how you engage with the world, other people should be able to see that fruit. Again, you will be known by your fruits. So what can we do? Number one, three things, and then we'll be finished up here. Recognize your dependence upon Christ. Number one, back to that scripture from John chapter 15, verse 5. Remain in me. Admit it. We can't do anything on our own. Jesus says so. But when we abide in Him, we can. In fact, elsewhere in Scripture, it says, all things are possible with God. And Jesus was preparing to send his disciples out into the world because he expected great things of them. He expected them to bear fruit and to multiply. So by simply acknowledging that you are in need and dependent upon Christ, you place yourself in a posture to receive God, to receive the Holy Spirit, to accept Jesus. But if we build that wall and we shut down and we say, no, well, I'm doing all this, I've done it for years, I'm going to continue to do it, you're not bearing the fruit. You've just shut off your connectedness with God. The second thing we need to do then, if that is the case, is we need to repent. And we often repent many times, sometimes maybe more than once or twice a day, certainly more than that each week. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of God's glory, but we need to repent. And repentance simply means that we change our direction. We change our attitude. We decide that we're going to live life as God intended. And we cannot be fully the people that we are and complete and whole without that love of God, without that connectedness to his son, Jesus Christ. And so through repentance, we begin to live obediently. Through repentance, we begin to connect with that Spirit of God. We begin to show a greater love for our children. We begin to show a greater respect for our spouse, our significant others. We begin to resist sin, and we begin to fight injustice, and we begin to live generously because we have repented of our ways and we've connected to the vine. Lastly, repeat these things every day. Just like revitalization of a church or an institution is something that never ends, so it is with our faith. We continue to build upon what Jesus gave us. He is that foundation, and we continue to build on that. We don't live our lives on our own. We walk step by step with Jesus throughout each and every day. We begin each and every day. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Thank God. He gives us that fresh start, that chance to begin again. Tomorrow's in the past. The failures that you've had are in the past. In the Bible, it also says that Jesus removes those sins as far as the east is from the west. He buries them at the bottom of the sea. If you've repented, he's forgiven you. Don't let them weigh you down anymore. Start bearing fruit. Repent each day. Confess your dependence upon God and follow him. I close with this. There's no mistake that when First Baptist Church acquired this little plot of land out here, upon which once sat the parsonage of Central Christian Church, which is now closed and unfortunately a museum, like so many churches these days, we decided to call that space the Vine. This was years ago now. That house burned in December, and I don't remember which year. But we purchased that little plot of land and called it the Vine. It was interesting, you know, it's Vine Street out there, so that's one thing, but that wasn't my thinking. My thinking is that Jesus is the vine. And if you look at the sign that's out there, it says the vine real big, and it's got some grapevines around it. But on the bottom of it, it quotes the scripture from John 15, chapter 5, that Jesus is the vine. So it was in that space that we wanted to connect with the vine. We realized the importance of that. Fast forward to 2023, December of 2023, and we decided to create the Vine Community Center because we wanted to have a space in the church where people could connect to the vine, where we could feed them, where we could build relationships with them. And so we have the Vine Community Center at First Baptist Church, which contains the community clothing closet, which also houses the core community. These are places where people can connect with each other in a godly space, a spirit-filled space, where people can build relationships and experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's no mistake that we refer to these places as the vine, because it is the vine that is the source of life. Jesus says he is the vine. We are the branches. We come to that source for our nourishment, for our strength, for all the things where we, you and I, are weak. And if we remain in him, he will remain in us. But apart from him, we can do nothing. So let us remember as we move forward, as a congregation, that we are all to be connected to that vine. And Jesus is that vine. And that we, as the branches, should do our best to bear much fruit and be in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we know that we are invited to abide in you, and we desire to live our lives day by day, simply resting in connection with you. Teach us how to rest in you, so that anything in opposition will melt away as the Spirit of Christ fills our being. Give us the strength to be a faithful branch, for you alone are our sufficiency. Enable us to abide in your love, so that we may produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control out of the abundance of your grace. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.